Good morning, everybody. It is October 29th, 2021. It is a Friday, a Kinyobi, right here in the Adirondacks. Kinyobi, Japanese for Friday, I believe. And if you look at the kanji for Friday in Japanese, I've always appreciated this. It's a little pot of gold. Little pot of gold in the kanji there for Friday. How perfect. And our leaves aren't gold anymore. They're brown. They're dead. They are on the ground. We've got some pretty bare trees, but we don't have any snow, which is a bit unusual. Well, maybe not unusual, but it's certainly not a shocker to have snow for Halloween. I always hope every year we have snow for Halloween up here in the mountains. And we do have snow up on the top of the peaks, the high peaks, but no snow here at the lower elevations. Hopefully soon. It's a pop culture Friday. We're going to go through the seven dumbest pop culture moments of the week. And as usual, things did not disappoint. There's never any shortage for dumb pop culture moments of the week. Let's start it off with our friends PETA. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they made the news in pop culture this week. They decided to take on Major League Baseball. They waited for the World Series to start, right? Trying to time their attack, sync it up with the beginning of the World Series. And, you know, they're not protesting the Braves nickname or anything like that because they're People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They aren't concerned about people, right? They aren't concerned about anything like that. They leave those battles, righteous as they may be, to other people. And PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, prefer to defend the quadrupeds, in this case, out there. So they're going to defend some quadrupeds. And here's what they say. They say that baseball is being a bunch of big meanies, a bunch of horrible people, because they use the word bullpen, right? Bullpen, where the pitchers warm up, manager can call out to the bullpen, say, hey, send in a relief pitcher. Yeah, that's bad wrong speak now. You can't say bullpen anymore, according to PETA, because bullpen is not nice. PETA's new suggestion, the arm barn. Yeah, the arm barn still has animals in there, but I guess barns are okay at this point. Bullpens are not okay, but barns are okay, according to PETA, right? So why isn't a bullpen okay? Well, a bullpen, according to PETA here in their press release, Executive Vice President Tracy Relman of PETA, she says, words matter. And baseball bullpens devalue talented players. That's interesting. I'm not sure. Maybe she thinks that the players are being compared to mere animals by saying they're held in bullpens. I'm not sure. But either way, I think she should let the talented players speak for themselves. All right, back to her statement. Words matter, and baseball bullpens devalue talented players and mock the misery of sensitive animals. Mock the misery of sensitive animals. Now, I have been around baseball for my entire life, been a fan, had friends who played in the minors, got a cup of coffee in MLB, and I have never, ever once known someone to use the term bullpen to mock the misery of sensitive animals, or even mock the misery of insensitive animals, right? I own cats. I have some insensitive animals around here. There are insensitive animals out there, let me tell you. And using bullpen does not mock sensitive or insensitive animals, Miss Relman. But she goes on to say, PETA encourages Major League Baseball coaches, announcers, players, and fans to change up. She puts that in italics because she's really proud of her pun there, to change up their language and embrace the arm barn instead. How is barn better, right? I guess it's a proximity thing because they go on here in their press release. It says that gentle bulls are tormented into kicking and bucking by being electroshocked or prodded in the bullpen, held in the bullpen before they're released into the rodeo. Well, that's true, and that's why I don't go to see rodeos. I can't stand to see that. That's not entertainment for me. That's yucky and disgusting, and I don't like it. So, yeah, so I don't go to rodeos, but I certainly don't protest people using the term bullpen. Oh my goodness. She also says that in the meat slaughtering industry, cows are held in the bullpen before they're brought in and slaughtered, held upside down, throat slit, blah 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 blah. And since they're held in the bullpen before they come in there, we should not use the word bullpen in baseball. Huh. And then she recommends arm barn instead. Are cows not being held in barns anymore? Is this just a time limit thing? Because I'm pretty sure cows are held in barns before they go to the slaughterhouse. Maybe they go from the barn to the bullpen to the slaughterhouse. But what are we talking here? A difference of 24 hours? I'm not in the livestock industry, the slaughterhouse industry. Kind of like Slaughterhouse Five, though. But if you go from the barn and then into the bullpen and then into the slaughterhouse, and you can't use the word bullpen because you're being held there before you're taken to the slaughterhouse or before you're being taken into the rodeo, which between the two, obviously you pick the rodeo, by the way, if you're a bull. So you can't use the word bullpen because you're held there before you go. What's the time limit here, Tracy? I need some minutes, right? Because it's got to be, it can't be that long. They can't be in the bullpen for that long. They're held in the barn, and then they're held in the bullpen, and then they go to the slaughterhouse. And we can't say bullpen because they're held in the bullpen before they go in. But somehow it's okay to say barn. Is it a 24-hour thing, Tracy? Is it a 12-hour? Is it 36 hours? Come on. This is dumb. This is stupid. You are not being logically consistent, PETA or Miss Relman. You need to think about what you're doing. Okay, let's keep moving on. That was our first dumb pop culture moment of the week. And yes, it was pretty dumb. Okay, let's go to number two here. This is Squid Game controversy. We've got some more Squid Game controversy happening this week from an unlikely source, the king himself, LeBron James. That's right, LeBron and Anthony Davis caught on a hot mic. The classic politician's blunder. Not that LeBron and Anthony Davis are politicians, right? They are NBA players and really good National Basketball Association players. They have won championships. LeBron is the second best player of all time. Oh, that's right, I said it. I said second best player of all time. First, of course, Michael Jordan. If I were, captaining a pickup team and I could pick anybody at their peak from the history of basketball, you got to pick MJ first, LeBron second. Okay, so what happened here? Well, they were at a press conference, LeBron and Anthony Davis, AD, and as they were shifting, LeBron was leaving the press conference and AD was coming in. They started talking to each other. I don't know why they can't talk to each other in the locker room. I don't know why they can't catch up on this, via text or Snapchat stories like normal people. But they needed, apparently, to talk about Squid Game while they were in front of all the reporters at the folding cardboard table. Why can't the NBA, why can't the Lakers afford a nicer table than that for their press conference? Go look at this. They got LeBron James and Anthony Davis sitting at this folding gaming table. Looks like it was a $20 table from Staples with a plastic little NBA tablecloth put on it. Whatever. So Anthony Davis is coming in, LeBron is leaving, and Anthony Davis says something, it's a little hard to distinguish. And LeBron says, Yeah. Did you finish it, bro? Did you finish it? Are you done with it? And Anthony says, Yeah. So then Anthony asks LeBron something about it. And they're talking about Squid Game, clearly. And LeBron says, Yeah, I didn't like the ending, though. And he goes on to explain, and he says, get on the effing plane, bro. Like, what are you doing? So spoilers here, right? At the end of Squid Game, the main protagonist, just like he did at the start, so he's undermining his own story arc, or maybe he's supposed to be a static character. I guess maybe it's actually just showing that his story arc goes in a different direction, but he's certainly not arcing in the direction of becoming a family man. He just at the start of the movie, he leaves his daughter, and at the end of the movie, he ignores his daughter too. And LeBron, I kind of like LeBron even better for saying this now. I was always a LeBron fan, but LeBron says, get on the plane, man. You got all this money. Go see your daughter, right? I mean, that's what I would do for sure. I don't even feel any sympathy. I feel antipathy for this so-called protagonist because he makes such dumb decisions like this. It's like in Rebecca when I start rooting for Mrs. Danvers because the nameless narrator is so weak. I despise her. I loathe her. So I felt that way a little bit in Squid Game, right? He's such a annoying character. Anyway, so LeBron and Anthony discuss that. LeBron says he doesn't like the ending. And of course, the director of Squid Game has to jump in. And Dong Hyuk, he comes in and he says, have you seen Space Jam 2? Ooh, low blow, taking a shot at LeBron right there. I kind of feel like it's not merited though, because LeBron was like the actor in Space Jam 2, maybe an executive producer, and basketball is his main thing, right? So if you're going to come at LeBron, you should really come at him for something in basketball, right? Did you see that 2020 season or that 20, excuse me, that 2021 championship or playoff season? That would be a little bit better than coming at him for Space Jam 2, right? Dong Hyuk, this writing, this directing, that is his main thing, or at least it is at this point after years and years of rejection. Tough life out there. So he hits back at LeBron. He says, have you seen Space Jam 2? But then he goes on. He says, LeBron is cool. He can say what he wants. And maybe in the next, maybe he can make his own sequel and give it a different ending. Yeah, I don't think Dong Hyuk means that though, because if LeBron were to actually do that, I'm pretty sure that Netflix et al. Would come down, harder than Kawhi on LeBron and for copyright infringement, right? And really take him to the cleaners. So I don't think he really means go ahead and make your own sequel with your own ending. Or maybe he means it doing it in like some fanfic way, posted for free. And I'm pretty sure LeBron is not going to do that. So this is the point where I issue my standard reminder that it is complete gaslighting to call Squid Game anti-capitalist. Nothing in this movie is capitalist, just like Parasite. And that does include the external milieu, the South Korean society, where supposedly the culture and the economic system are such that they are so tilted towards the wealthy and creating such a wealth disparity that it drives people to Squid Game-like endeavors. Nothing about that is honest about capitalism. If it is intended to be an anti-capitalist message, then it's either setting up a straw man to attack, or it's just a complete misunderstanding of what capitalism is. Please, before you go thinking that Squid Game is in any way anti-capitalist, please go read about what capitalism is. It is the removal of force from the marketplace. It is a market where property rights are enforced and respected. And that is neither the case in the games for Squid Games. And it's definitely not the case external to that either, where you have South Korea, perhaps slightly more capitalist than the United States economy, but absolutely a mixed economy. Absolutely far, far from a free market where force is removed and where property rights are completely respected. So that's the dumb pop culture moment, number two of the week, with Dong Hyuk hitting back at LeBron James. They've got no beef. That doesn't need to be happening there. Let's go to number three. Number three is DaBaby. DaBaby, rapper, came back on stage at Rolling Loud this week. 50 Cent brought him back on. I didn't even know that Fitty was still around. Oh, 50 Cent, remember the G-Unit jokes? They were the best, right? Did you get a sweater for 50 cents? Did you... 50 Cent, did you get a sweater for Christmas? Yeah, I did. Did you make it? Yes. And he said, oh, gee, you knit? Yes. Oh, such great 50 Cent jokes back in the day. But anyway, he's still around and he brought DaBaby back. Why is this important? Because DaBaby, you know, fell from grace last July when he made some homophobic, anti-gay comments on stage. And these aren't just, you know, comments like when J.K. Rowling says sex matters and then the trans community gets all up in arms and says she's being anti-trans or transphobic, which she is not. No, DaBaby's comments actually were pretty gross, pretty disgusting. And he said things like, you know, all right, everybody, he was doing his standard, you know, rouse the crowd type things, put your hands in the air, wave them around. And then he said, but don't do that if you are, I'm not going to say explicitly what he said, but don't do that if you're out in the parking lot performing various gay sex acts. And he said, don't do that if you have some STD like AIDS or something like that, which following on the heels of his comment about, you know, don't participate in my concert if you're gay, it seemed to be directed not just at HIV people, but also HIV positive people, but also gay people. So yes, he actually had some real homophobic comments, some anti-gay comments, which were wrong and horrible. I denounce them. But here's the thing. So DaBaby comes back on stage, and that's a little bit ironic because the thing is, and Dave Chappelle points this out in his recent special that you may have heard a little bit about. It made the news for other reasons, but it did include this, Chappelle pointing this out, which is absolutely true. You know, DaBaby killed a guy a couple of years ago, or probably killed a guy, or was involved in killing a guy. It's murky, a little bit hard to tell, but there was a shooting in the parking lot of a Walmart and a man died and DaBaby was involved in it. DaBaby says he's acting in self-defense and he only pleaded guilty to carrying a concealed weapon. There was no murder conviction or anything like that. And DaBaby says that he was acting in self-defense. And maybe this is true, but as I certainly hope it is true. As Chappelle points out, though, DaBaby got in far more trouble because after he fell from grace in July, his touring career was basically done. He dropped from venues, dropped from performances, dropped from appearances, just gone, disappeared until now. Just came back because 50 invited him back on there. Ugh. So anyway, you know, as Chappelle points out, come on. This guy's career wasn't endangered, wasn't even close to in trouble to the degree for killing a guy or for being involved in killing a guy that it was to the degree it was in trouble for being anti-gay, for saying a few words. And yes, they're horrible words. And yes, he should not say them. Absolutely not. It's not, you know, if my son or my daughter did that, I would read them the Riot Act. And I would consider myself having failed in some respect as a parent. But we're still talking about words. We're talking about some comments on stage. And that gets you not in equal amounts of trouble. Not even in equal amounts of trouble. We're talking order of magnitude more trouble for some speech than actually shooting a guy to death, killing a guy. That's not right. There's some dumb pop culture wrapped up in there, some extremely dumb pop culture. People need to get their priorities straight, okay? Somebody says something you don't like, somebody says something stupid, somebody says something dumb. Okay, that's great. Call them out for it. And sure, boycott their shows. That's your right. Go for it. It's probably even good. Certainly in this case, it would be good. But you've got to keep in perspective that if that's your bar, if that's your bar, then killing a guy has to be above that. Okay? It just has to be. It has to be. It's force, it's violence, it's action, it's terminating something, right? And the other one is a couple of comments. Who knows? Maybe he was drunk on stage. Maybe he was, who knows? Who knows? So some misplaced priorities there. That was the dumbest pop culture moment. Number three of the week. Truly dumb. All right, let's keep going on here. Number four, Cuomo. Oh, Cuomo, he's the gift that never stops giving to dumb pop culture, right? Remember back about, I don't know, 16 months ago, he had a $5 million book deal inked because he was such a great leader. In fact, the book was going to be called Leadership, right? And you had all these breathless, adoring memes being posted out there and people saying, "Oh, I watch his briefing every single day. He's the president that we need, but not the president we deserve. Oh, he's so great. He's my secret president." And now he's going to be arrested later this week, right? For sexual assault, or I shouldn't say sexual assault, for a misdemeanor of some sort of sex offense. He groped, according to the allegations. Brittany Camuso, she says he placed his hand under her blouse, cupped her breast over her bra. And according to the New York Post, the evidence against Cuomo includes messages from his own cell phone, or at least one message from his own cell phone. You have to wonder what that is. I think that's an apology, him reaching out to Brittany and saying, "Sorry, I was a total assaulting creep." Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. And other evidence against him, state police aviation records for December 7th, right? And that date has to jump out at you. Pearl Harbor Day. Oh, a day that will live in infamy. Cuomo, did you have to pick December 7th? Come on. And then, the usual like swipe card records, who went in and out of the building, things like that. And Brittany's testimony to Letitia James, the attorney general from New York, who, by the way, James is going to run for Congress, try to replace Cuomo's replacement, Hochul, of course. She's going to announce that later this week, or at least is widely expected to announce that. So the moral here, the dumb pop culture that we have to improve here and try to get smarter in our pop culture, is that Cuomo was a horrible leader. He was a horrible leader, and you need to be able to realize this. He killed thousands with his completely inept leadership, putting sick elderly people back into the nursing homes, spreading the disease. And none of this revisionist history saying, "Oh, well, we didn't know how bad it was." No. We knew that was dumb. People like YT, yours truly. We called it out at the time, and there's none of this revisionist history that should be going on saying, "Well, we give Cuomo a pass, we give New Jersey a pass because they put elderly people into nursing homes," but they knew, or they didn't know how bad it was. No, they knew, you could tell it was a horrible decision at the time, and they were called on it at the time. But pop culture went on worshiping him. They went on, putting meme lord Andrew Cuomo up there on a pedestal. And every day they listened to his briefings and watched Chris Cuomo. And it was super dumb at the time to think he's a great leader. But even dumber right now is that these people, they're not posting mea culpas out on Twitter. I don't see Snapchat stories posting Cuomo's picture from now versus Cuomo's picture in their story from the spring of 2020 saying, "Ooh, I really goofed on this one." No, I don't see anybody saying, "Whoa, how could I have been so wrong? Maybe I need to reevaluate how I choose my leaders." No, nobody's doing that, and that is dumb. They're just moving on to the coolest new leader, Fauci or AOC or back to Bernie, the next so-called great leader who can do their thinking for them. And it is dumb to do that instead of reevaluating what you look for in a leader when obviously your previous fave leader has failed so completely and ruinously. That is dumb. By the way, that $5 million book deal ended up selling about 50,000 copies. I think 48,000 in its first week, and then not much after that. So I don't know, even if they got full price $30, that's what, 1.5 million, something like that. So doesn't look too good. Doesn't look too good on the finances for the book. What a shame. Next one, number five. Well, number five is pretty short here. Riley Finn. You might recognize the name Riley Finn from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was the much maligned fan anti-favorite from season four. They tried to replace Angel with Riley Finn as Buffy's boyfriend. He was the military dude that they couldn't decide if he was really a Frankenstein or not. I mean, I guess they sort of decided he was, but he was a pretty Frankenstein. He wasn't an ugly Frankenstein, and they couldn't decide if they wanted to play up that feature or not, that he was Frankenstein to Buffy's vampire slayer or to Angel's monstrous vampire. I think it would have been more successful if they had played up that he was a Frankenstein, but instead they kept playing it down. Anyway, that was Riley Finn, right? Riley Finn. The name is Riley Finn, famous for the fourth season of Buffy and just a touch of the fifth season, and then he reappears later in the comics too, of course, because in the comics, everybody always reappears. So what's the problem here? What's the dumb pop culture moment of the week? Well, this is actually from a couple weeks ago, but I've been slow and I just caught up to it now. There was a Netflix series called Midnight Mass. It was in the top 10 on Netflix, according to their own publicity listings, for a while. And it's a vampire series. I think there are 7 episodes in Midnight Mass. No homage, of course, to F. Paul Wilson's Midnight Mass, which is a great vampire novel, by the way. You should go read it if you want to see vampires who aren't sparkly. And I love Twilight, but who aren't sparkly heartthrobs. Vampires in F. Paul Wilson's Midnight Mass are true beasts. And here in Midnight Mass, the main character in this vampire series on Netflix, or the protagonist, is Riley Flynn. Riley Flynn. Same name as Riley Finn. Okay. Guys, if you're going to make a vampire movie, you need to at least Google your name and check it out. I mean, yes, it's off by one, Riley Flynn versus Riley Finn. So maybe that's somehow how they missed it. But if you want people to watch a vampire show and not constantly be thinking of Mark Blucas's immortal, whether good or bad, character in the best television show ever, you know, that's a little bit unlikely to happen. I can't watch that show. Every time somebody says Riley Flynn, I'm thinking, what? Riley Finn? Vampire? No. Okay. All right. I mean, that's like, right? That's like making a new sitcom. And instead of, like, you know, Lucy and Desi, it's Lucy and Nezi or something. I mean, you just, wow. All right. So that's that dumb pop culture moment. Then let's go to number six here. This comes to us from, like Cuomo, another endless source of dumb pop culture moments. This is from Slate Magazine, Slate.com's Care and Feeding article or column. This is their advice column for parenting. And if you've never gone through Care and Feeding, it's The Onion. It's the Babylon Bee. It is a self-parody, but they write it, I think, unironically. I think they really mean what they're writing here. Clearly, they make up some of their, I sure hope so. Maybe I shouldn't say clearly, but I sure hope they make up some of their letters that they get. So this one here is from October 26th, earlier this week, and it's a mom, supposedly, writing into the parenting advice column, and she says that her daughter Clara, she puts that in quotes so we know it's not the real name. It's great. She says, Clara's 15. Clara is going to study STEM at a top liberal arts college. Okay, she's 15, and already we know she's going to a top liberal arts college, not just a liberal arts college, a top liberal arts college, and she's going to study STEM. STEM. That's a major now, STEM. Okay, so we're two sentences in, and I already don't like this mom, but I mean, she's writing to care and feeding, so if this isn't a fictional letter, she's anyway. So, yeah, she's already got two strikes against her, but let's keep going on. And basically, what she says in this letter is that she thinks her daughter is getting assignments given back to her in classes that have maybe an 8 out of 10 score, and then classmates who do exactly the same work as her daughter are getting 9 out of 10 scores, right? And is the mom upset about this? Well, sort of. But she's not upset that the other kids are getting 9 out of 10 for the exact same work that her daughter's getting 8 out of 10. No, she's upset because her daughter wants to complain about it. Her daughter wants to go to the teachers at the school and say, "Hey, why are my friends getting 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 when I'm only getting 8 out of 10 for the exact same work?" And the mom is upset about this because the mom knows she's been to workshops with the teachers in the parent teacher organization or something like that. And she knows that the teachers are giving the other kids 9 out of 10 because it's an equity project and they're trying to fight racism and they're trying to fight against the historical circumstances that have led to people being placed beyond their control in underprivileged circumstances. So the teachers, the mom knows, are just giving her daughter 8 out of 10 and the other kids 9 out of 10 because they're trying to make things equitable and trying to correct historical injustices by giving different grades for the same work to her daughter and her friends. And she's upset because her daughter wants to challenge this. Her daughter has this bizarre idea that that's wrong and that she should talk to the teachers and say no, that we should get the same grade for the same work. Here's a quote from the mom's article. "I've tried to hint at the racial justice angle, but she isn't having it." She, her daughter, isn't having it. "I've tried to hint at the racial justice angle, but she isn't having it. To her, this is unequal treatment." And she says that I raised her to speak out against unequal treatment. "To me," that's to the mom, she goes on to write, "to me, this is an attempt to make sure students of color are not held back." Wow. Wow. The mom's an idiot. I hope that the daughter gets true justice and gets the grades that she deserves. But the mom is the dumbest pop culture moment of the week. That is number six, and that is the dumbest pop culture moment of the week. I can only recommend Care and Feeding to you if you have a thick skin and can tolerate reading such lunacy. But if you can, then I do recommend it because it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny to read what goes on in that Care and Feeding column. All right, the last pop culture, dumbest pop culture moment of the week here. Number seven, the COP26 climate convention is coming up, right? It's being hyped as this turning point in climate change. Yes, well, they all are. They're all being hyped as, they've all been hyped. All the previous 25, it's a turning point. Things are going to happen. We're at a tipping point. We have to stop things now. So the new thing about this one and the dumb pop culture thing here is now you see it on everybody's Snapchat story, you see it even on Twitter, which is, for older folks, if you're not aware of that, and you see it all kinds of places. YouTube, right? This one is on YouTube. It's climate anxiety now. Now the new thing is that young people's mental health is being destroyed because they have climate anxiety or eco anxiety. Here's a quote from Mitzi Jonel Tan. She's from the Philippines. She has this video out. She says, "I grew up being afraid of drowning in my own bedroom because of typhoons and floods that would ravage my home, getting more and more intense." Okay, right? And the APA, the American Psychological Association, they have a new diagnosis, a new definition here for eco-anxiety and climate anxiety. and that is a chronic fear of environmental doom. Right. So what's dumb about this is not these kids, these poor kids. What's dumb about it is the adults teaching the kids to feel this way, right? There's this culture out there that is instilling this sense of imminent doomsday, this apocalypse. But as I mentioned yesterday, apocalypse is not the best word because of it really just means revelation, right? It just happens that the book in the Bible, Revelations, that what was revealed was doomsday. So, instilling these visions of doomsday into our youngest and vulnerable kids, this is dumb. We should not be doing this. Mitzi Janelle, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not, but if you are, you've got no need to worry about typhoons and floods getting into your bedroom. You're not going to drown in your own bedroom. Okay? Look at Holland. 25% of the country of Holland is underwater, and they haven't drowned in their own bedrooms. And how did they do it? Well, they used this amazing, new, crazy good technology called a dam. It was, in use there just since, the last 1,000 years, right? And they've gone on to be one of the richest countries in the world, in fact. So don't worry, even if 25% of your country goes below sea level, you can use that amazing, crazy, new, astounding technology called a dam and still go on to be one of the richest countries in the world. You will be all right. And if you want to read further about this, folks, there's a new paper out in The Lancet about it from Elizabeth Marks and Caroline Hickman at the University of Bath. They did a survey, pretty good N right here, 10,000 people. Kept it a little old, though. They went 16 to 25 years old. I would have liked to see younger. And they asked all kinds of questions about, what your feelings about the climate are and how scared you are. And if doom is going to come to Sarnath and your hometown, not just Sarnath. And the results were just like you would expect after listening to Mitzi Janelle Tan. The results were very depressing. Something like 40% of the respondents said that they feel that their mental health is severely impacted and depressed because of climate anxiety. Crazy high numbers there. All right, folks, those are your seven dumbest pop culture moments of the week. I'd have to give the dumbest one to the Karen Feeney article in Slate, although I think that they're making up those letters from the parents. So other than that, I'd have to give it to PETA, because if you're going to object to bullpen, then how can barn be any better? How can barn be any better? Think of the dignity of the cows held in that cruel, cruel barn. All right, folks, that is going to be it for today. Remember to subscribe. Remember to find me on Twitter, ADK Homeroom. Take care.